This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we will be featuring an exclusive segment on ants. We will have a devotional thought.
And Taj Hoglib is back with another Reflections of Hope episode. Stay with us. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. You know, we can't wait to kick off today's program.
That's true. And that is because today is National Eat a Red Apple Day.
Oh, I wish I had an apple.
Hey, you do.
I do. I'm going to take a bite of this apple.
All right. And let us know that there is no better way to kick off your day than to start by eating a crispy red apple.
Oh, yes. You know, apples are chock full of blessings of nutrients that are good for the body.
That's
right.
You
know, as the old adage says, an apple a day keeps the doctor away.
And that's famous for a reason, folks, because apples are loaded with phytochemicals and fiber, which help protect your cell's DNA, helping in the fight against cancer. They are also a great source of vitamin C. They help prevent obesity, protect against heart disease, lower cholesterol, protect against diabetes, and are beneficial for bone health.
In that case, let me take another bite of this apple.
I think so. Make sure to get your apple in, friends. God has created so many good foods for us to enjoy. Mm. We can't wait to share more about our amazing God with you this morning.
That's right, that's right. Oh, that's a good apple. Well, today we're off to a good start. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1959, 12 nations ratified the Antarctica Treaty, marking a historic moment during the Cold War. This treaty effectively prohibited military activities and weapons testing on the continent, serving as the first arms control agreement of its kind.
You know, from a Christian viewpoint, the Antarctica Treaty symbolizes a commitment to principles that resonated with Christian values. You know, the act of safeguarding Antarctica's pristine environment aligns with the Christian notion of stewardship. You know, Christians are often reminded of their duty to care for God's creation. And Antarctica's unique and untouched landscape underscores the broader responsibility to protect and preserve the natural world.
Since the beginning, God told Adam and Eve to tend to the garden and to take care of it. Today, that same responsibility is passed to us. God calls us to be good stewards, to care for the earth, the animals, and the resources He has provided us with, including our time and the utmost respect and consideration of God's will.
And friends, what can you do today to be a good steward?
That's a very good question to start this day with. Well, what does it take to have the strength to love? Let's take a close look at answering this question as we dive into the true story of an arsonist destroying someone's home.
Perhaps one of the hardest commands ever imposed upon mortal man is the injunction of Christ, who said, "Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Now, this doesn't come natural to the sinful heart. Naturally, our hearts are bent towards self-love and self-preservation. Naturally, hatred and vengeance is our first reaction to those who mistreat us and those who seek to do us harm. Love and forgiveness is usually not our first response. So how can we live up to this high standard of unconditional love that is set before us? Where exactly do we find the strength to love like this? And where is its source? It was about 8 months ago when I first met our new neighbor, Jonathan. He's a homeless man with major mental issues that decided to squat in this abandoned house next to ours. My first encounter with him happened at 2 o'clock in the morning. My grandma woke me up to inform me that some crazy guy had smashed the back of my car windshield. He wasn't trying to steal. He only wanted to destroy. The cops came to arrest him and took him to the mental hospital. What a terrible inconvenience. Can you imagine that? Rudely awakened in the middle of the night, Then having to spend the next 2 hours cleaning my car of all the shattered glass before I was able to go back to sleep. Then I had to pay $498 out-of-pocket repair because it was just under the $500 insurance deductible. Then waiting for hours for the repair, terrible customer service at Hawaii Subaru, and the list goes on. But that's not the end of it. My next encounter with Jonathan happened several months later when he decided to burn down this abandoned house that he was squatting in. Thankfully, the firemen came and put out the fire and the cops came to arrest him again. But it didn't stop there. About a month ago, Jonathan was successful in burning down this abandoned car on our street. He's been arrested over and over again, but each time he's let go because of his mental instability. Now, you would think that the authorities could do better in keeping our community safe from a known arsonist who has a violent past, especially when there's so many children that live on our street. Somebody dropped the ball big time on this one, but that's another discussion for another time. But here's my struggle, and maybe you can relate. How do I love a neighbor that seeks to harm me? How do I bless someone that seeks to hurt me? Where does this unconditional love come from? And how do I experience it practically in my day-to-day life? The last time I saw Jonathan was just a few days ago, after he was arrested for starting another fire in the early hours of the morning. This time the fire not only burned down the house that he was squatting in, but the flames also spread to our own home, causing hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of damage and a bunch of wasted time. Now, thankfully, we all got out and no one was seriously injured. But now our family has to completely move out of our home. We have to find another place to live for the next 6 to 12 months. And now we have to spend time that we don't have to rebuild our damaged home. To say that this was another terrible inconvenience is a gross understatement. Far more was at stake than our physical possessions. For if we had slept just 5 minutes longer, we could have very well have lost our lives. And worst of all, this tragedy was completely preventable if our leaders and representatives would have done something sooner. So what do we do now? My natural self wants to be filled with anger and frustration, especially when I see the damage it's done to my home and the hurt it's caused to my family. My natural self wants to complain and be upset not only with Jonathan, but with the city, the state, the bank that owns this abandoned home, the hospital officials, all those who seem to do absolutely nothing to prevent his dangerous actions. But then I think of the words of Jesus. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Here is the command of Christ. But the next part is the promise of power to fulfill the command. Because Jesus continued to say, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends his rain on the just and the unjust. You see, beloved, the power to love your neighbor as well as your enemy is found in remembering that this is exactly how God has treated us. He sends his sunshine and his rain both on the righteous and the wicked. He loves all of us the same, for his love is unconditional and his love is infinite. And friends, we can only love others because Jesus has first loved us. I begin to realize that what Jonathan has done to us, I have done the same to Jesus. By my foolish choices and actions, I have caused God so much pain. For it was my sins that nailed him to the cross. It was my foolishness that brought him agonizing pain and embarrassing shame. I was the cause of his suffering. I was the cause of his pain. And yet this same Christ was still able to look upon me with eyes of infinite love. While I was yet living in my disobedience, crucifying him afresh by my sins, he was able to look upon me in compassion and pity. Even when I held the hammer in my hands, getting ready to nail him to the cross, Jesus looked upon me in love and he prayed for me. He said, Father, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing. And by the power of his love, Jesus extended mercy to me. He loved me even when I hated him. He gave to me not what I deserved, which was death. He gave me that which I needed, which was amazing grace, marvelous mercy, and eternal life. Thank you, Lord. When I think about what my Lord has done for me, how can I do anything less for others? How can I withhold forgiveness from someone who's wronged me when Jesus has forgiven me so freely and yet I've done far worse to him? As I swept up the broken glass on the ground months ago, and as I sweep up the charred wood and the toxic ashes of my home today, God is also sweeping up the anger and frustration from my heart. By focusing on the cross, I'm finding supernatural strength and power to love. And what a precious lesson God has been teaching me. But it's the same lesson He's teaching all of us today. My friend, is there someone that needs your forgiveness? Someone that hurt you, that needs your grace? What God has done for you, you can do for others. Just open your heart and let God pour out His love in you and through you. Allow Him to make you a channel of healing love to someone today. And remember that when your life is shattered like glass and your hopes are reduced to ash, God is always there to clean up the mess and to remove all the stress. Now, we may not be able to trust presidents and politicians and the police and even pastors to fix our problems, but there is a God that we can trust to keep us strong in the most trying and difficult hour. And so never forget that heaven's blessings will always outweigh life's difficulties, because no matter how hard or hot it gets, we are blessed more than we deserve, and we're surely blessed more than we realize. So when you're tempted to be discouraged and complain about your situation, first count your blessings and recognize that it could be worse. And thank God that there are blessings even in brokenness. And in the weakness of our sinful humanity, never forget that the strength to love the unlovable and the unlovely is found in the God of infinite love.
The Incredible Journey joins us this morning to take us through the Prohart Gallery, one of the most popular tourist attractions in the outback town of Broken Hill, to discover an important life lesson from ants.
The Prohart Art Gallery is one of the most popular tourist attractions in the outback town of Broken Hill. It's chock full of his paintings and artwork. This painting of a dragonfly is one of the most well-known and famous pieces. It's interesting how Pro came to paint the image of a dragonfly. He was actually watching ants going about their work. He saw them busily working on a dead dragonfly and carrying it bit by bit to their nest. So it was the ants that first captured his attention and interest, which he connected to the wisdom found in the Bible book of Proverbs, chapter 6 and verse 6. Take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and be wise. We can learn a lot from nature, and ants in particular. Here are some important characteristics of ants. 1. Ants are diligent and hardworking. They can teach us the value of hard work. Ants are never lazy. Laziness only encourages us to procrastinate and become apathetic. Ants aren't poor or hungry either. They are continually working. If we strive to be diligent and work hard, our lives will also be blessed physically, spiritually, and financially. Point number 2. Ants have a can-do attitude. They are self-motivated. Their small size and location on the ground doesn't limit them. They make no excuses and continue with the business of getting things done together. They are disciplined self-starters and work for the common good. Point 3. Ants have excellent strategic planning, precision, and organization skills. Ants can teach us the necessity of planning ahead. They store their food during seasons of plenty so that they will have adequate amounts in the lean times. Point 4. Ants are the masters of teamwork and unity. Ants know that they can accomplish more by working together than by working alone. They set goals and work together to achieve it. Ants are truly inspirational, and we sure can learn a lot from them, as suggested in the Bible.
Coming up after our short break, Pastor Mark Finley will join us to share today's devotional.
And don't forget, if you're enjoying today's program, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more.
Also, don't forget to check out our YouTube channel. Simply search for Wake Up with Hope and keep up with each one of our episodes. Wake Up with Hope will be right back after today's Doctor's Orders coming up next. Well, do you want the good news or the bad news?
Give me the good news, Doc.
So, if you don't stop drinking, start exercising and eating properly, they're going to have to name a disease after you.
Awesome! I always wanted to be famous.
Believe me, no one wants the pain and suffering that disease brings.
So what shall I do, Doc?
Well, remember we were talking about physical activity. Have you been exercising?
I'm exercising my right not to listen to you. Is that what you mean?
No. You know that exercise can add life to your years and years to your life.
I know you're right there, Doc, because I jogged 1 kilometer yesterday.
Yay!
And today I feel 90 years old. Exercise sure added years to my life.
Ah, but that's because you're a little unfit. If you keep at it, you're going to get fit and you will feel less uncomfortable.
Yeah, once I'm dead, I won't feel a thing. Is that what you mean?
No, what I mean is when we exercise, our brain releases morphine-like substances called endorphins. The more intense the exercise, the more we get, and it gives us a sense of well-being physically, mentally, and emotionally. They call it a jogger's high.
Well, that sounds great, Doc, but I just don't feel like jogging is my thing.
Oh, don't worry. Endorphins can be released from any kind of activity, whether it's cycling, swimming, gardening, or walking.
Well, now that you mention it, I have been spending more time on the treadmill.
That's great.
Yep. I was so tired the other day, I just laid down on the treadmill and slept. It was a little bit hard, but it was great.
That doesn't count. You need to go outside and exercise. Nice try. The more, the better. And release those brain-friendly endorphins that give us an addiction to exercise. Doctor's orders. Welcome back to Wake Up With Hope. Thank you for staying with us.
It's now time for a devotional thought brought to us by Pastor Mark Findlay.
Have you ever said something that you wished you would not have said? Have words slipped out of your mouth that you've said, oh, if I could only take that one back? The book of Proverbs gives us some very wise counsel. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. You guard your mouth, you guard your tongue, you keep your soul from troubles. You know, the New Testament expands on this in the book of James. And New Testament comes back talking again about the tongue, about guarding our tongue. James, the 3rd chapter. And it says, we all stumble in many things. This is James chapter 3, verse 2. If anyone does not stumble in the word, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle the whole body. We put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at ships, though they are so large, are driven by fierce winds. They're turned by a small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest fire this tongue kindles. The tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members. It defiles the whole body. It sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. In other words, guard your tongue carefully, according to Scripture. Now, during the Second World War, the United States government became very concerned about the number of German spies that were operating in America. And they'd send information back to Germany regarding Allied war plans and specific troop and ship movements. To keep them from impacting the war effort, the Office of War Information launched a national campaign around the slogan, "Loose lips sink ships." It was a solemn warning to people not to repeat information that might be damaging and even deadly if it fell into the wrong hands. In the same way, the Word of God warns us against the dangers of gossip. Repeating stories has a way of dividing the body of Christ. Gossip is even able to separate the closest of friends. One of the 7 deadly sins on the list of particular abominations to God is that the person who sows discord among the brethren, Proverbs 6, verse 19. God invites you to be an encourager. In Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 11, the Bible talks about not simply discouraging words, but encouraging words. Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings or pictures of silver. Encouraging words. Words that flow from a heart that wants to bless others, to lift the spirits of others up, rather than to tear them down, makes a great difference. John Wesley wrote the following letter from his deathbed to William Wilberforce to encourage him in his prolonged fight against slavery in England. You know, William Wilberforce took a stand against slavery before anybody else very much took it in England. And Wesley wanted to encourage Wilberforce, and Wesley was dying. And he wrote to John Wilberforce words that encouraged, or rather William Wilberforce, he wrote to him words that would be incredibly encouraging to him. And these are Wesley's words in his letter. He says, "Unless the divine power has raised you up, I see not how you can go through your glorious enterprise in opposing that abominable practice of slavery, which is the scandal of religion, of England, and of human nature. Unless God has raised you up for this very thing, you'll be worn out by the opposition of men and devils. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Are all of them together stronger than God? Go on, my brother, in the name of God and in the power of his might. If God has given you a task, be not weary in well-doing." Wilberforce, reading the dying words of John Wesley, felt hope. He felt encouraged, and he went on to speak again and again in the English Parliament. And finally, the abominable trade of England was reversed. God leads you to be an encourager, to speak encouraging words. They may be by calling somebody on the cell phone, encouraging them and praying with them. They may be writing a little note to somebody to encourage them. You know, one of my heroes of faith is Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom was in a German Gestapo concentration camp for many, many years in Ravensbrück. And Corrie, in that camp, attempted to encourage others. But Corrie tells a story about her mother. Her mother was an old woman by now, and they were living, of course, in Holland, the Netherlands, living in a little town square in an apartment, two stories up, three stories up in that town square. And Corrie's mother's hands were all gnarled, face wrinkled, hair gray, furrowed brow. And Corrie's mom would sit at the window in a rocking chair, rocking back and forth. They'd lived in that village for many, many years. And Corrie's mom could almost not talk anymore. And she would see somebody walking across the square and say, "Corrie, come here, Corrie, Corrie, come here. Corrie, that lady, she lost her husband, he died. Bring her a loaf of bread today. Corrie, that one, that child struggling in school, write him a little note of encouragement today." And Corrie said the thing that encouraged her to be a blessing, even in the prison camp, was the fact that her mother was such an encourager. Her mother was always looking for somebody to be a blessing to, somebody to encourage. Words can either be like a sword that pierces your heart, or words can be like apples of gold and pictures of silver. They can be like the breath of fresh air to you. I was holding evangelistic meetings in London, in England, and we were traveling in every single day from where we lived in St. Albans, about 40 miles into London, to place called the New Gallery Center. And this one day, I was just so tired, so weary, wondered if I could walk up the stairs to the third floor to teach my class. I was teaching every morning and preaching every night, visiting people in the afternoon. And as I walked by one room, I looked off to the side and I saw a small group praying. And one of them was Dr. Agatha Thrash, who was there with a group of Bible workers. And the prayers went something like this: Dear Lord, Pastor Marks looks a little tired today, but Lord, give him strength, give him courage, help him be filled with new energy. I will tell you, I bounded up those stairs. Why? Because of words of encouragement. Go out today in your day and look for somebody that you can encourage, somebody that you can bless today, and you will be blessed.
Thank you, Pastor Mark, for blessing us this morning with those encouraging words.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up With Hope. If you'd like to learn more about our program, rewatch a segment during the weekend, or share us with a friend, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we look forward to starting the week with you, friends. So don't forget to join us on Monday morning, same time, same place. We will have an inspiring message from Voice of Prophecy and so much more. Also, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
We don't want you to miss that. Again, that's hope.study. Don't put your life of peace on hold any longer. Now, friends, we don't want to leave without sharing with you a Bible promise for the weekend. This Bible promise comes from Matthew chapter 5, verse 9.
It says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God."
What a beautiful promise. You know, as we strive to make peace with those around you, God promises that you are His child. So keep this promise close to your heart this weekend, friends. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you that you've carried us through another week. Some of us have put long hours into work, and how good it is to be able to approach a time of rest. And we pray, Lord, that as we go through our weekend, that you would keep all this hope-filled content in our hearts and minds. And Lord, give us opportunities to be facilitators of peace, that we might receive a blessing from you and be able to bless others as well. So thank you, Lord, for answering our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.